And welcome everybody to, what is this? Oh, Off the Hook Overtime on YouTube. That's what it is. Manuel here, Kyle, you made it over there.
Hi.
And out in Signal Land, we have Gila and Rob.
We are indeed here.
Yes.
Are we, in fact, on YouTube?
We are on YouTube.
Well, then.
Do we hear us on YouTube? That's the question.
Well, how will we be on YouTube if you didn't hear us on YouTube? That's how you know we're on YouTube.
Our video started, but our sound had not started until just now.
We don't have video on YouTube. We just have a picture.
Yeah, but the picture was up. The other interesting thing is that I find that the delay is longer on Rob's computer than on my computer, which is weird because they're right next to each other.
Well, maybe one computer is better than the other computer?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Can you mute us, though? Because this is driving me crazy. Thank you.
Okay, you are muted. I don't know how you're going to tell us to unmute you, though, and think that through. But maybe you could call us or send a postcard or something, and or just wave frantically because we can see you. And Kyle, you're making a sour face. Why is that?
Oh, I just hope it's not our configuration. We'll run some more tests.
Do you think it's something that we did on our end?
No, nothing's changed since the last time we were reconfiguring. But I will take a look when we have some free time.
You think the listeners might be responsible for this?
I don't know, but I think we're set to go. I think no. We're just always improving.
They're waving at us. Okay, I'm going to put them back up. Right, guys, you're back up.
We are indeed. What I meant was asking Rob to mute the YouTube stream so that we weren't hearing us live and with delay, because that was driving me absolutely down.
Yeah, why would you want that?
I didn't.
No, that's awful. So, I hope we didn't offend Canvas or whatever they're called too much. But in a way, I kind of hope we did, because they really need an ass-kicking here. I just cannot believe that. I can't believe that kind of a thing exists, and I can't believe they just ran it so badly that this would happen. It's just, I get impatient with stupidity of that nature.
Is there stupidity of another nature with which you are not impatient?
Well, it's all a question of degree. Like, if you screw something up, you screw something up, you mess up your own life. But when you're messing up hundreds of millions of people just trying to learn in school, there's no excuse for that. You were entrusted to get something right, something which I don't think ever should have been done in the first place. This proves it. And I don't see them doing anything differently. I'd like to see what they're going to do differently and how maybe they're going to encourage. They're never going to encourage schools to run things locally, because there goes their business model. So, we open the door for this kind of thing. You can't be surprised when this happens.
So
why
this
is that
like
funny?
It's not. I'm laughing at something else, and I'm going to tell you what that is. So I would like to begin by saying greetings to the 40-odd people who are with us right now. And the thing that made me laugh was when at Sarah B, 4513, said, I went straight to my professor friends and told on Eric.
And told what?
Told on you.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well,
and that was why I giggled.
Uh-huh. Maybe we leave the chat to the side, and we read the chat only once every couple of minutes or something. What is burning in your neighborhood, by the way? I just hear nothing but fire engines going by.
Yeah, things are really heating up here in Queens.
No, the whole hour there have been fire engines going by.
There may actually be something of significance going on nearby, and there's not much we can do about that.
Well, make sure your building isn't on fire. That's one thing you could do.
So far as we know, it's not.
I mean, our smoke detector hasn't gone off.
Mm-hmm.
We don't smell any smoke. It also, though, we do live a couple blocks away from a hospital, which came in very handy a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be.
Hear that?
Ambulances, too?
That's not an ambulance. That's a fire truck. I know fire trucks.
Yeah.
I grew up in Queens, too.
Wow. I wonder if we could find something about.
Hang on.
Yeah, stick your head out the window
fire
and yell, what's going on out there? You know, that's what you do in Queens.
Every time I stick my head out the window, a pigeon disgraces me, so I don't want to do that. But
hang on, let me check in on the subreddit.
Wait, there's a subreddit for your block?
Not for our block, but for our little
our neighborhood.
Area,
yeah.
Our neighborhood.
Really? Okay.
But in any case, there is exciting stuff going on all over the world, and I want to hear about some of it from our listeners.
Yes, yes, and we're opening it up also because a lot of people have been emailing us with questions about Hope, and we just have so little time on the radio that we figured this is a good clearinghouse for information if people need to know anything. We are processing a huge amount of talk submissions that came in before the end of April. There are more that are coming in now, but we're not processing them just yet because we're still dealing with the many dozens that we have before April 30th. And we will be announcing some of those talks very soon. There are all kinds of other things, too. We will be announcing how you can be a vendor. There are workshops. There are villages. Kyle and I were at the site last week. In fact, a bunch of us were at the site last week, and it really is amazing. It really is something to go there to the New Yorker and just see the possibilities of what we can do with the place. And I really hope that everything works out, that people have fun there. I know we're hearing from so many more people that want to come back to Hope, who haven't been to Hope in a while, because, well, you know, nothing against Queens, but apparently it's hard to get to for a lot of people, and this couldn't be easier to get to. It's a block away from Penn Station. It's right in the middle of Manhattan, steps away from Times Square. There's all kinds of things you can do all the time, and it's kind of a return to what Hope started as, which is basically the same neighborhood, just a different hotel that has since been torn down. This one has not. And this particular hotel, they really seem to value their history. They have a museum in the hotel. They have Nikola Tesla's two rooms with plaques, and you can actually stay in those rooms. In fact, we're going to have those rooms for the conference. Not sure who's going to stay in them yet, but we're going to do something like that. We have all kinds of fun activities planned, and we're open to all sorts of ideas. All of the information so far on the conference can be found at hope.net. We are adding more material. We're going to add more things about the neighborhood, about the hotel, and, of course, about the schedule as well. We do need people to spread the word because, people want to go to this thing. We hear that all the time. Our ticket sales need to be improved if we're going to keep doing this, if we're going to do it again. You know, going to Manhattan is not cheap. There's a reason we went to Queens, because Queens was much more affordable. This involves a significant investment, and in order for that to pay off, we have to have a significant number of people show up. And if that doesn't happen, well, it's a great way to go out, I guess, but we don't want that to be the case. So please, if you're holding back, thinking that you'll buy tickets at the last minute, we are going to be imposing a limit, which hopefully we reach that limit. And if we don't reach that limit, I can't imagine us not reaching that limit. But if we don't reach that limit, then it means that we won't be doing well. And, you know, we really, there's no reason to do that again, because we'll just be taking a bath. Please spread the word. Come up with ideas. Email us. Let us know your thoughts, opinions. This is a great event. It's going to be so much fun. Summer in New York City. It's like nothing else. And if it's anything at all like the previous conferences, it's going to be so worth it. It really will be. Kyle, did you have something?
Yeah, just we want to keep the momentum up. Eventuality of not reaching as our goals for this time around could just put things on hiatus or slow them down in ways that I just don't think matches the amount of enthusiasm and the momentum and the sort of need, I think, to express ourselves, to hear what others are saying at this particular time with our area of interest and our affinity group. So I would just encourage people, if you want to help buy a ticket, another close second way to help is spread the word. Really, really help us. There are so many problems with the sort of current state of social media and media fragmentation in general. And we're not really the sort of large flashy event anyway that would be taking out big billboards and stuff either. So we're just going to do more of what we always do anyway, which is a lot of grassroots, a lot of word of mouth. So that's something that everybody can do. So if you want to help, those two ways are really phenomenal ways to support us. And share a story, get people excited, and think of ways that it might help you to be around like-minded or people from other fields of interest and expertise that you could have in your proximity and collaborate with, challenge, maybe talk about and edify one another with, you know, different ideas and vantage points for issues or for particular projects or capabilities and innovations. All of that stuff matters, and your participation in the ways I've described and others are so crucial and never something that we take for granted or that we want to see diminish. Mm-hmm. This is a moment to stand for something, and you know, this is this gathering, getting everyone in a room and presenting and sharing ideas. That's what we're committed to. That's what we like to provide, and the magic is what you bring to it.
We are so lucky to be able to do this. Yeah, I feel the same way when we do a radio show on WBAI. We are so lucky to be able to transmit from Midtown Manhattan, you know, to three or four different states, you know, from New York City, and of course around the world on the internet. But just, you know, to have that, to be able to have an audience of radio listeners, which is very unique from internet listeners, as internet listeners are great as well. But when you're a radio listener, nobody knows you're a radio listener. It's completely passive. It's anonymous. You're not being tracked. You actually can turn on a radio in your car, in your house, whatever. And it's a tie-in to something that's been around for over 100 years. And I think that is that's amazing just to be able to do that. When you consider how many radio stations there are in New York City, how many people are on the radio at one particular time, it's a relatively small amount of people. So it's a real privilege to be able to do that and to be part of that community. And you as a listener, you're also a part of that community. And you might hear people saying, yeah, radio is dead. Well, if radio is dead, what's it being replaced with? Is Spotify really something to be proud of? Is that really, you know, better than something involving interaction, talking to somebody on a call-in show or hearing something said live from a studio? I think that there's a certain magic there that I hope that we hang on to. We don't let that disappear like so many other things are just thoughtlessly disappearing. It's one of those priceless things. But also, you know, the conference itself, having that in the middle of Midtown New York City. Well, when we had our first conference back in 1994, that came after a few of us had been to some European conferences. I'm thinking of Galactic Hacker Party. I'm thinking of Hacking at the End of the Universe, both in the Netherlands. And they were amazing conferences. There were no conferences like that in the United States at all. There were conferences like SummerCon, and the first couple of DEF CONs were very, very small. We're talking about, you know, 75 people at most. And they had their own unique charm. But the conferences in Europe, they were huge. They had 1,000 people or more. And you just realized how big the hacker culture actually was and how it was starting to unite. We were meeting people from the Chaos Computer Club in Germany and people from all different European countries and some people from Asia were showing up. It was amazing. But the one thing everybody said, everybody from the States, everybody from Europe, everybody that we met, couldn't do this in the United States. Wouldn't work. There are all these reasons why it would fail, all these reasons why it would be kept from happening. Well, you know, the thing about the hacker culture is that we don't like to be told we can't do things. We don't like to be told about rules. We don't like to be told things are impossible. So when people say that, it's like waving a red flag. Basically, it's telling us, okay, you know, you're being challenged here. And so a bunch of us set out to figure out a way to do it anyway. And not only did we do it anyway, we were able to find a place in the middle of New York City, you know, the biggest city, the most energetic city, the most expensive city. And yet we were able to find a place, the Hotel Pennsylvania, where we could pull this off. And we knew about this place through our connections in broadcasting, where certain conferences were being held there. And we figured, why not give it a shot? And that's how Hope got started in 1994 at Hotel Pennsylvania. And it, you know, it lasted until Hotel Pennsylvania was demolished, or actually until COVID, which led to the destruction of the hotel. And then, yeah, you know, you can't find another Hotel Pennsylvania. That's a one-time thing. So that's why we wound up in Queens at St. John's University. And we were lucky to have that. It was a different environment. We knew we could never go back to Manhattan again. Couldn't possibly afford it. It was impossible. It was impossible. Well, guess what? They said it was impossible again, so we did it again. We found another place, and I think this place is going to work out just great. I really do.
I'm excited about it. And anyone who's been to multiple Hopes knows, even when they were all at the Hotel Pennsylvania, no two were the same. There was always just a bit of an evolution, a bit of a, you know, progress in vibe and, you know, changes in the event, things added, things tried, things that didn't work out left behind, new things tried out. And it's always been this process of continuing to grow and learn and, you know, anything's at its best when it's still open to evolving. Yeah, we're not going to have the exact same Hope we had 20 years ago. But I am really interested to see what Hope looks like in 2026.
But we always like to, you know, mix it up a little bit and give people things that they're not expecting. For instance, just with the name itself, you know, the first Hope was just Hackers on Planet Earth. And that, you know, it was a one-off. We didn't think we were going to do something again. And then people said, hey, why don't you do it again? So, you know, Beyond Hope was the logical name for the one that happened 3 years after that. And then another 3 years passed, year 2000, Y2K. So we figured, why not H2K? For Hope 2000, we had an acronym within an acronym. You know, that's something people weren't expecting. And then we went biannual after that, every 2 years. So what's a logical name for the one after H2K? H2K2. That was 2002. And, of course, everyone expected 2004 to be H2K4 or maybe H2K3. But no, of course, it was the fifth Hope. So, and then we had the fun of when the hotel was about to be torn down the first time, having the last Hope. And then explaining that by the last Hope, we didn't mean it was going to be the last Hope. We just meant it was the most recent Hope. And then the next Hope was called the next Hope. And that's when people realized you cannot depend on us for a naming convention because we're just going to mess with your mind. The most recent Hope was Hope 16. And so, of course, the one after that is Hope 26. So don't try and predict what we're going to do next. We don't know ourselves. So any questions or statements about Hope, please feel free to call us when we open up the phone line in just a moment. Kyle, you have something?
I just add that, like, the adaptability of it, a lot of it is about, you know, what kind of interest and what different types of projects and things we're emphasizing, and of course the constraints with venues and different things. So I just want to encourage people, share with us, you know, sign up for the volunteer form, tell people or let us know about a vending idea you have for a table or a workshop idea or, you know, other things like that. Like, there is so much so much capability that I've seen come from a lot of the talented people listening and our readers and the wider hacker world out there in New York and, of course, America and anybody else that joins us. I want people to understand that we really can do all kinds of stuff, anything. I mean, it really is about, I mean, if you can imagine, you know, a thing we would be able to do, it's certainly possible. It just, it's the idea translating into action is the hard part. And I think that anybody who's been a part of something like this, like, we don't want to be just like a, we want to keep it exciting. We don't want to be a trade show. We don't want to be, not trying things. Of course, the peril is that some things don't work, as Rob said, and we redirect. We just want to focus on the basics, and we might, do a couple things differently just to make things easy in this being a new space. But once we're familiar, I think we'll be able to get some routine to it. And that's all I wanted to say, is that we really can put anything together for something like this, but it does take scale. Like, we definitely need an audience to be able to, meet the numbers and requirements for doing it the way we're doing it in Manhattan. But I think that the trade-off is so many different people can join us, and we can have fun with the space, have fun with the neighborhood, mm-hmm. Places that are around, have all kinds of activities and get-togethers and meets going on, excursions, whatever that is. There's been that kind of stuff in the past, you know, tours of New York, tours of different things that people organize around Hope. So we're totally open to it, but it takes action. It takes self-direction and coordination. So we really need people to kind of get their energy and momentum together and really let's all sort of push for those things that we want to see and move in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many things that we can be doing this summer. If you have a space in Manhattan, or know of a space in Manhattan that wants to have some kind of party or something like that, we can definitely be a part of that. We can promote that. We can do all kinds of things at the hotel. Kyle was mentioning volunteers. Yes, we need volunteers. This doesn't happen without volunteers. There's a volunteer tab on the Hope.net webpage. There's a form, a very short form to fill out there. We need all kinds of help both at the conference and leading up to the conference. We certainly can use people with social media skills, because we're not that good at that. We're not that good at promoting ourselves. We're really, you might have noticed that. We're very bad at that. So, you know, all it takes is one person who's good at TikTok or something like that, and that changes everything. We have a lot more people being a part of things as well. There are so many ways of getting involved. The hotel itself, we have discounted rooms that are at prices that you do not see in New York City, in Manhattan. You don't even see it in Queens and Brooklyn anymore. So it's really good to have that. The hotel is very supportive. They're very eager to have this conference happen there. There are if the rooms appear to be sold out, check again the day after, because what they do is they add rooms after they sell out, and they have been selling out on a daily basis. So go to the link that is on the Hope.net webpage under the venue section, and if you can get a room, then get a room, and you'll have that at least waiting for you. You won't get billed until August, so don't worry about that. And any other questions or thoughts or things that you have ideas to get involved with, anything is possible. Anything is possible, and we hope that this conference really is the beginning of something brand new. Yes, Gila, go ahead.
A couple of questions to convey. Someone asked if there's any information, a sneak peek about what kind of talks we could look forward to, maybe. I said, hang tight, information coming soon, but awesome talks.
People have really outdone themselves as far as putting together interesting discussions, subjects, things of expertise. And it's, to me, that's the most inspirational thing. When we see a couple of hundred talk submissions coming in of people that really, really, really want to speak at Hope, and know what they're talking about. And we don't have requirements where you have to have a degree or a certification or something like that. We do get a lot of people that have very impressive credentials. But we also have people who are in high school giving talks, which, you know, and they're good talks, too. And they'll be up against a college professor or a CEO or even a government official. There are all kinds of people that show up for this thing. And, you know, the reputation precedes it. So you realize how much it means to people. And that just makes you want to try all the harder. So I really hope people realize that. And again, you know, we didn't mention this either. If you absolutely cannot make it to New York City in August, we do have our virtual tickets, which also go a long way towards supporting the event. So please check out that option as well. No matter where you are in the world, you can be a part of HOPE.
Question number two, is the HOPE app going to be back?
I don't see why not. It's a little early. It's still May, but we had that last time, right? So if we had it last time, we will have it this time.
Yeah, we've had a recurring volunteer, and I think when we start talking schedule, and we'll maybe get a couple more requests for that, we tend to either get in touch or they get in touch with us. But there's a lot of attributes of HOPE that just sort of assemble like that as we put together the different elements. But we'll definitely make sure we reach out and get people working on that or give them whatever they need when we get to that point.
The important thing to point out is that we have a lot of challenges this year. We lost Greg, tragically. And Greg did so much for the conference, and we have to basically come up with three or four people that Greg was. I know we can do it, but it's difficult. It's hard. We also found the new venue fairly late in the game. Usually we're promoting the conference in the later part of the year before, and we didn't have this lined up until, was it March of this year? So we have less time to work with, more to do, and our first time in a new venue is always a challenge. So that is why it sounds, and it's true, that we're floundering a bit because we have so much being thrown at us at once. And, you know, in addition, we have other things that we do. We work on the magazine. We work on the radio show. We have lives. We have all kinds of other things.
Wait. We have lives?
Some of us might, yeah. We're experimenting with having lives.
Can you elaborate on that?
No, I can't. I haven't had one yet.
Are you sure you're talking about the same people?
I don't know. I don't know people at all. Yes, Gila, more.
Two more things. One is from @swoop2, who says, saw this was live, been incredibly busy, just wanted to thank everyone for all of their hard work. A hard track from the Midwest with current gas situation. I will check out the virtual ticket. Thumbs up. And a question from me, which is, are we going to take phone calls?
Yeah, we are. As soon as you stop giving us questions.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ouch,
we welcome,
man.
The questions. No, the questions are cool. But yeah, we're ready to roll with those. We'll get the line connected.
Who wants to give out the phone number? And let me point out that when you say the last digit and it's correct, the phone line magically becomes active.
Okay, I think we can both do this. The phone number you want to call is United States phone number 1-802-321-4225.
And hang on. The damn button didn't work. Okay. No, it worked, and then it undid itself, and now it's working. Okay. 802-321-4225. Yes, that is our phone number, 802-321-HACK. And hopefully we hear the phone ring fairly soon. And, yeah.
Excellent. And While we're waiting for that phone to ring, I want to thank everybody who helped WBAI reach their April fundraising goal last month. The announcement was made that the fundraising goal last month was met, but of course the fundraising campaign is ongoing. We don't stop receiving bills just because it's not April anymore.
But I think we blew past the goal by 10% or something, which is just insane.
It is.
That's awesome. It's people power. People power. Mm-hmm. It always helps in the end. Okay, Rebel, we have you on the phone line. Now, let me just ask you a question before you start with your soliloquy here. You called us last week on the radio station, correct?
Yes, and that was, and then I called, somebody called again, which was probably AI, that had voiced us me.
All right, now the reason I believe you is that our caller ID was not working for some reason. So we're going to take you at your word, because we've known you for 100 years. So what's on your mind this week?
Let's see. I agree with you. You were talking on the radio about people having their own computers and not dealing with the cloud. That's why I don't like cloud computing and, you know, companies that, you know, who are dealing with apps and, you know, depending on, you know, other companies for their data sources. We should go back to the, I guess to call it days of mainframes and, or main computers, I guess as you could call it these days, where computers are at your, on your location. You know, the place where I worked at, Messenger Service, they had a computer on their location.
Mm-hmm.
It was a PC server type of a thing with six or seven, you know, PCs connected to it.
I mean, it's okay to have something in the cloud or something remote, but, yeah, have something local as well in case that goes away.
Right. And let's see. And like telephone systems are in the cloud. Like people don't have PBXs anymore. Well, I mean, Centrex was kind of a cloud thing, wasn't it?
We had a Centrex system at our other radio station, and it was pretty much, the hardware was in the central office, so I guess that could be considered the cloud, but there was a lot of hardware locally as well. You needed both.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know that you needed both.
Well, you needed the instruments. You needed the circuitry to be working. There's a lot of mechanical clicking going on.
Well, I mean, you say you needed both. I mean, the central office, the switching element was at the central office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, they have, like, voice-over IP phones.
Rebel, a good way to parallel it, look at a payphone. A payphone run by the phone company, its intelligence could be said to be in the cloud because it was in the central office. The thing telling you to deposit a quarter was not in the phone itself. COCOTs, on the other hand, customer-owned cone-operated telephones, the intelligence was in the phone. So it kind of went in the other direction. It went from having something in the cloud to not being in the cloud with the newer technology.
Well, I mean, I guess you could describe the cloud. I mean, but it was kind of not cloud-like where you know it today, where another company is running, you know, serving you, where this is like the phone company is still serving that payphone.
Yeah,
the
same company.
Is still serving WBAI or whatever. So,
well, Centrex was the same thing. That was the phone company as well. So,
So it's not the cloud. It's the phone company serving you. Mm-hmm. If it was another company serving not only you but other people, then that's kind of the claim, you know what I mean?
Right, right. It was remote technology that we were using.
Let's see.
Can I ask you a question, Rebel? You're somebody that has been active with phones for a long time. In this day and age, which is 2026 now, my God, you still have a landline?
You know what? I don't.
Oh, my God.
And when I moved to it like 10 years ago, I got rid of it. But I think I want to get it back. I just called Verizon, actually, and to ask them what it would take to get a wired line, the regular wireline phone. If you don't have anything, like if you don't have caller ID, if you just take like an old, like, I don't know, trim line phone or, you know, phone from like the 80s or something, plug it into a wall, they come out and they have to install it. That's like $150
uh-huh.
of the wire and the jack and all that. And then you have to pay like $50 a month to have the service. And then you got to pay for your phone call. If you want the basic service, if you don't want the Fios, if you don't want the internet or the TV, it's just more expensive. And if you want to do Star 69 or any of those features, Star 69 is like $1.50 now per use.
No, that's insane. That's insane. And I think they want it that way. I think they want to discourage people from having landlines.
That's what I still was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to have one just to have one as a second phone. But then again, you know, I have a cell phone. I have, you know, everything's here, and everybody, you know, knows the number, and it's just more efficient.
Here's a crazy idea. What if landlines were just free and everywhere? Would you have one in your house then? You know, it's just a backup.
Yeah.
You only use it when you need to, but it's always there. I know it's going to cost money. I know someone's got to, you know, pay for the upkeep, but it's an important part of the infrastructure, I think.
Right, but, I mean, what did businesses do? You know, businesses are not mobile. They have a store or a business that's, you know, there, and they need phones, PBX or whatever. I mean, if PBX is in the cloud, it's kind of like spin sharks.
Yeah, well, you know, you see a lot of businesses with 917 numbers, which usually are cell phones.
Right, yeah, that's interesting. It's like the phone, and also people call, and there's these, like, scams, like, you know, like, whatever, they text you now. They text you saying, I'm from Charles Schwab, I have a great investment opportunity, or whatever, and it's like some number in Michigan or something, but, you know, of course, when you call it, it doesn't work. How are they texting you?
Why are you calling it? You can ignore it.
No,
at least,
not calling.
If it's a text, you don't have to...
I'm not calling it from my phone, I'm calling it from another phone, of course.
Well, it doesn't matter how many phones you're using, the point is, you know, a text message, you don't have to even acknowledge, whereas if you pick up a phone and it's some annoying telemarketer, it's a lot harder to get off the phone without saying something regrettable.
Well, that's, you know, I had that call today also, you know, someone called you saying, oh, would you like to publish a book? Do you have a book you like published? I mean, like, it's like a book publishing scam now.
When's the last time you got an actual phone call that you picked up and said, oh, hey, and you had a conversation? When's the last time that happened?
Oh, I got that. Yeah, obviously, I got that. I mean, I know.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people can't remember the last time they've been on a phone call.
Well, you know, the thing is that people, these telemarketers are scammers. They call you from strange numbers so much that when a legitimate person calls that you're expecting, and then you're like, you don't want to say hello, or you know, like, don't answer or whatever, you know, and they say, hello, is this Richard?
Who is this? I prove that you're who you say you are. And after like 5 minutes of that, either they hung up or finally you get the conversation started.
Right, or they have the annoying phone. Like, now you call people and they say, please say your name after the tone and we'll see if your party wants to talk or something
yes.
like that. Have,
no, that's great, too. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, it's like, that's what we do.
And now we get people that call with fake voices that imitate you.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I just don't know what's going to happen next.
I mean, this is why I want to. I mean, some places are getting rid of the wired lines. They're not even installing a wired line phone anymore. Like, I think in California or someplace in Florida or something, they're not even offering. The local phone companies aren't even offering wired line phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, just like, you know, like, people are not using gas cars that use gasoline anymore.
Does anyone else want to complain about society, or is it just going to be me and Rebel? Come on, guys.
I'm still thinking about Rebel publishing a book. Rebel, please publish a book.
Yeah, you should.
No, I was thinking of you when they asked me that. I was thinking of you, and I said, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I was thinking of, you know, 2600, you know, that's a publisher. You know.
While books are still cool before they get eliminated.
Yeah, well, you had the Kindle and the Nook and all those kind of e-readers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I have something on my computer. It's the Bell system from 1992 or 96, the TAPS technical manual, traffic operator position technical manual, like when you dial zero. It's really complicated, like they're telling you how it's, like, hooked up and networked and all that. I mean, I should, like, maybe, like, print it out and bring it to Hope or something.
Yeah, you should, or scan it or something. They might need that.
Well, I think I emailed it to you. I think I even sent it to you.
Well, who knows what I did with that.
Well.
All right, yeah, Rebel, this has been fun. Any other concluding remarks before we open up the phone line to someone else?
No, I mean, I like to, like, take, like, computer terminals or, like, even PCs and, like, network. Maybe there should be a networking thing at Hope, like, where people, you know, learn how to, like, network different things, like, there's a local area network at Hope. I mean, a wired local area.
Well, there's nothing we can't do.
Like, yeah, we'll bring lots of cable.
Yeah.
What?
We'll have extra cable. We'll have lots of cable.
Yes, we will.
So, yeah, you can connect it all.
Yeah. But I'd like to, you know, be the one who volunteers at you know, at the front desk or whatever, or, you know, help people get around.
Help people get around the neighborhood, yes, because there's so much out there. And, you know, if you're coming to New York City, I'm speaking to other listeners, if you're coming to New York City for the first time, I can't think of a better way to see New York City than through the eyes of hackers. And you'll just be amazed at what the city is like, how it's not at all the way people have described it to you, and just the amount of fun and how friendly people are. It's just, it's magic.
I think I should make a little private commercial for Hope. You know, like a 30-second, like, private commercial.
Why didn't we think of that? And air it during the Super Bowl. Well, the Super Bowl's over. But, you know, during something, but get it out there. Yeah. You can take care of that for us.
We AI.
Well, they don't have commercials. That's the thing.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I don't know.
Just, like, get an overhead projector with some transparencies and use, like, a pointer and stand in front of it and just get a phone and record yourself and you just...
Uh-huh.
Share different things, your points, kind of like a analog style.
Yeah, we just got to get the word out somehow, you know? Get the word out to newspapers, magazines, radio, television, the sky, all kinds of places where people are looking.
Leaflets,
well,
graffiti.
Hopefully there'll be press people there, like, you know, like from the mainstream media.
Oh, well, the press people show up. They always want to, you know, show up to the conference, but they don't help spread the word about the conference, and that's what we really need.
Well, because, I mean, obviously you got to pay to do that, but I'm talking about maybe, like, making something and putting it on, like, a Facebook page. Or
well, you don't have to pay to have an article written. You shouldn't have to pay for that. And many of these journalists get in for free, too. So, you know, it's basically we want the conference to actually have a lot of people that want to be at the conference. And that's why we do it. That's the whole reason. All right. Rebel, it's great hearing from you, and we will hear from you again in the future. Not tonight, though.
No.
Okay. All right.
Unless the AI calls.
Yeah, if somebody else calls, we know it's not you.
Right.
All right. Have a good night, and we will see you in the future. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. 802-321-HACK.
We have a question. Do we do press releases?
Do we do press releases?
The question is, do you guys do press releases?
We can write press releases. The question is, who will read the press releases? You know, I'll tell you a story. Last year, I was involved in doing a Canada Day celebration in this country, which nobody else was doing, July 1st. And we sent press releases out to every TV station, every radio station, every newspaper, every magazine we could find. And we did not get a single response from anything in the United States. In Canada, however, we got all kinds of responses, and I was on As It Happens on the CBC National Network. And the thing is, we didn't even send it to them. We were going to send it to them, but we hadn't gotten to them yet before they got to us. That's how good they are. That's how much they pay attention. In this country, I don't think they pay attention anymore. And that's sad. That's really sad. But if we know of journalists that will actually read something and, do some investigation and, you know, do some reporting and asking questions, interviews, things like that, yeah, let us know. We will definitely get them, the press release. We will write as many press releases as we possibly can. We have a lot to boast about, to send out news about.
Yeah, and we do regularly write news stories and publish them on the web and make other sorts of announcements and small ads available in other ways when we publish.
We have a phone call?
Yes, it's on the line, yeah.
Okay, good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening, gang. Tim in Connecticut. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Tim in Connecticut.
Hey.
How you been?
Hi.
Very well. Thank you very much. I hope everybody else is good.
Tim, I'm sorry that we won't be able to meet you in the dive bar in Queens this summer. However, I have good news. We can meet you in a different dive bar in Manhattan.
There you go. I'm sure everybody will know about it before the time comes.
You know what we discovered last week? Actually, Kyle, you weren't saw this. One block up from the hotel is an Irish bar, which is great because that's, you know, where people congregated by Hotel Penn was in the Blarney Rock, which is no longer around. And this, what's it called, Kyle? It's got a weird name.
Well, I saw an Irish flag. We didn't go in. We have not stepped over the threshold in the place, but I at first was confused by the name. It's the Tailor.
The Tailor. We thought it was a tailor because it's in the garment district.
That's right. And they had a thread and needle in their logo, but it also said a public house, which immediately I realized, okay, that's a venue of sorts. We have not been in there. We don't know anybody.
Yeah, but we stuck our heads up to the window, and there were people in there, and they were drinking.
It's a great large space. I believe a horseshoe sort of bar. I think they have two levels in there. I think it looks like a fantastic place to grab a drink, to meet some people, and step out from the event.
There are
other places around,
but
too.
But what's funny is it's literally one door up from the WBAI entrance back when we were on 35th Street. It's literally one door up from... It wasn't there when we were there. But, you know, even if this isn't a good place, I think it is a good place, but even if it isn't, there's another good place a block away. So
there's so many.
Yeah,
so many.
It's an incredibly busy part of town.
But. Yeah, we're really interested in what people...
Shot.
Yeah, absolutely. It's worth a shot. Definitely check it out. We will definitely take pointers or tips from people that are familiar with the area or that go to places that they like and turn everybody on to them. And yeah, we'll take those referrals for sure and share them with other attendees, you know, if we make a list of top spots to go to. But they're really, it's so endless there. And
Gila is raising her hand. Go ahead.
I am, because there is a place that I've always wanted to go that it turns out is one avenue away from the New Yorker Hotel.
Okay.
It's called Break Bar.
Which direction, 9th or 7th?
9th.
Okay, a little bit to the west.
Yes, a little bit to the west. Break Bar is a bar where they have very disposable glassware, and the idea is you drink, and then you throw your glass at the wall.
Okay, I could get into that.
You can also buy a bucket of empty bottles.
Wow.
Okay. You can buy beers and then drink the beers and throw the bottles.
Can you throw the bottle before drinking the beer? Let's say you don't want to drink too much.
No. Oh. So you can get empty bottles and I've always wanted to go here, and it is a block away from it's a long block, but it's a block away from the hotel.
Let's say I have my own bottles. Can I bring them?
I don't know. I don't know if the rules about bringing in your own glassware are the same as bringing in your own alcohol.
There's no recycle fee or something on your bottles?
I don't know if every drink has an extra 5 cent subcharge on it because.
Yeah. I want to go in there with a plastic water bottle and say this thing's broken because it's not breaking.
Well, just the catharsis of throwing your bottle and smashing it, I think, is maybe worth more than 5 cents in terms of positive effect on your mental health.
And they are open till 4 a.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
So I think we're going to get some outings for this.
Wow.
That was actually...
Yeah, really.
That was the same hours for the other bar. I have a feeling a lot of places are open until 4.
So we found all
bar
this activity
on
the same block that the hotel is on. And there's so much more around it. It's going to be awesome.
Throwing?
Did you say absolutely?
Man, I am teetotal. I never drink, but I'm going to the bar with you, man.
You love going to bars with me. Don't even front.
Yeah, you don't have to drink to throw a bottle.
I'm calling up.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was wondering if anybody else has seen a little thing that I've noticed lately where my phone won't ring, but I'll have a voicemail.
That happens.
A voicemail is just a regular old cold call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they got the voicemail into my voicemail box for Verizon, but it's so weird. You know, nothing on the caller ID, just all of a sudden, you have a voicemail.
Is this a cell phone or a landline?
Cell phone.
Well, one of the reasons could be that you have sucky service and that you just, you know, lots of times I don't get a call. I get a voicemail from somebody I'm expecting a call from because for whatever reason, that moment, I'm not getting a signal. I don't know. It looks like I have a signal, but the call itself just goes straight to voicemail. That happens a lot.
And you don't see anything in your call log?
No, because the phone doesn't actually ring. It just goes to it's right. Like your phone is off, or it's like you have no service, because for that split second you don't. Now, another way to do it, if two people call at the exact same time, one person will get through, one person will go to voicemail.
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah. I mean, I've set up voicemail systems over the time, and I know that if I have the administrator password, I could leave one voicemail for everybody. And I was kind of wondering if maybe somebody was hacking their way in that way, but it's Verizon.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting, though. That definitely can happen.
Yeah, my phone is hardly ever off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if it's off, I'm probably passed out, dead, or in the hospital, or some other thing.
Or run out of battery. The phones do run out of batteries.
Yeah, mine doesn't, only because I just keep it charged all the time. It'll die eventually, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
All righty, well, that was the only thing I had. Plus, I'm sure all these bars will be in the orientation at Hope, right?
Yes. We'll let people know about them. And also, don't forget the TikTok Diner in the hotel, which is open 24. It's open 24 hours a day, and it has a full bar in it. If that's important to people, it's right there.
And disco fries.
Disco fries, too. Yeah, they have that.
It might not be important, but it's very, very necessary sometimes.
Well, we want to just have options for people. And I know that was an issue in Queens because we were on a campus that was a dry campus.
So it can.
But the flip side of that is, we didn't have any of the problems that we had late at night with drunk people. And I don't want to have those problems in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All righty. I'll get off the line. Let everybody else call in.
All right. Good hearing from
you. Have a great night. Yeah. Good to hear.
Take care.
Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Tim from Connecticut there. All of that we found this tonight. B&H, isn't B&H on that block too? The best electronics in the world?
Somewhere there, yeah.
Yes, but as a friendly reminder, they will not be open on Saturday.
Yeah. Or Friday after, 3 o'clock? So, but, if you get there early.
I mean, it's August, so Shabbos is, late, but,
and
then, yeah.
There's always Sunday.
There's always Sunday. Yeah. But, just don't be surprised if people are like,
yeah,
I'm going to go to B&H. Oh, it's closed. Why is it closed on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah.
Sorry, this is one of my favorite stories in the whole entire world. There was a kosher bagel establishment in our neighborhood, and people basically review bombed their Yelp page, and they're like, I want bacon on my bagel. Why can't I get fucking bacon in this place? This is bullshit. I want bacon. And it's like, you're in a kosher bagel place. You can walk 2 feet down the street and get something else. They've actually given up their supervision.
They're no longer kosher.
They're also no longer good. Not that they were good before, but ugh. So, yeah, do a little research before you get mad is all I'm saying.
Was that one person who had an issue with this, or was it a bunch of
people? No, it was a lot of really stupid people.
Yeah, this is a place near the Long Island Railroad Station in town. And,
I've never had bacon on a bagel. I've never had that. I never thought that.
You've never had a bacon egg and cheese?
On a bagel? No. Ew. Why would I do that?
I've had that, but that is stupid petty because there are so many other things at a kosher deli that you could get on a bagel that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, going back to B&H, it's funny because I've worked in media production here in our city, and one thing that the entire media production in New York City knows, even the ones who aren't Jewish, they know about, Shabbat, because the main place to go for an emergency piece of equipment that you need will not be open Friday night or Saturday, and, that is well understood.
Yeah, I better believe, though. Yeah, it'll be something I'm sure people working on AV or other aspects of the event will pop by during setup during
the
week.
That's why we set up on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, Thursday, when people are getting into town, they're like, oh, yeah, I might need that thing, and I can get it here. And that was a recurring feature or amenity is having that right around the corner from Hotel Penn. So another familiar thing that we will be availing ourselves
of. It's even closer
maybe.
Now. It's even
yeah.
closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. But those things are part of this that will be kind of leaning on stuff we hadn't had, but is in actual recent memory for a lot of organizers, a lot of volunteers, a lot of attendees. So those are actually kind of comforts in my mind.
802-321-4225. Can I keep the phone lines open for a couple more
minutes? Yeah, it's ready, yes.
If anyone has anything else they'd like to say, please feel free. And it's still going on in your neighborhood, whatever this calamity is.
So I did, Emmanuel, to find out what is going on I reactivated my Citizen account. I hope you're happy.
Oh, honey.
You know,
stay in the light.
That Citizen app is terrible because apparently people can use it to know where you are. I didn't know this because I had it on and someone said, oh, you're in the city. What the fuck? How do you know I'm in the city? Because the Citizen app was ratting me out. So I deleted it and I will never use it again.
So it appears that there was a report of a smoke condition a couple blocks away. I can't find anything newer.
Thanks for tracking.
For it to still be going on, 2 hours later?
I would also like to mention that I'm going to be deleting Citizen from my phone again right now.
Yes.
Wow.
Can't happen too soon.
Is that because of what I said or is it for another reason?
Well, it's also always been garbage. It's the, find out how racist your neighbors are app.
Find out how racist and narky your neighbors are.
Why do you need an app to find that out? I mean, it's pretty obvious.
That's true, but if someone in apartment like whatever on, some other floor of your building is quietly seething because people of color exist, you don't hear about it unless you're on the same app together.
And
they give their apartment number out?
Could be. And, fun fact, they now have a premium thing where you have to pay them to look at old incident reports.
Why would you need to look at old incident reports?
I don't know. Maybe like a sinkhole appeared in the middle of the street 2 months ago. And you're like, hey, I wonder how this is. But you have to pay to find out about the sinkhole in the middle of the street. Citizen is bullshit. We can be good citizens without the Citizen app. That's what I say.
All right.
Ooh, I like that takeaway.
Same thing with netizens. All right, we have a phone call, and this will probably be the last phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes. I just wanted to, you were talking about promoting the event, the Hope event.
Yes.
Now, I wondered if you've considered, there are like New York YouTube channels, like New York-related YouTube channels. Have you considered, approaching them to do some promotion of the event?
What kind of YouTube channel? I'm not familiar with them.
Well, there's a lot of thousands of them, but basically, for a small fee, and it's a very minuscule amount of money because I've used some of them, maybe $100, $150. They run ads for you on their YouTube channel. They have millions of subscribers and stuff like that, and they put the word out for for the event.
Wow. Well, if you know of any specific ones, shoot us an email or something, and we can look into that for sure.
Okay, then I will do that, yeah, because there's a few of them that have the type of audience that would attend this event.
That would be great. And, just reaching people is the main challenge.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention was I cut off my cable today, and I wondered if other people have done so. Like, I don't have any use for cable anymore. I just use the apps. And I just wondered if other people still have cable TV. Like, is that still a thing? Do people still have cable?
Yeah, people do, but more people are cutting the cord, as it were. But the thing is, you're using streaming services, I imagine, in place. And they add up, too. And before long, you're spending the same amount on the streaming services, and you're not getting local TV anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, local TV, you don't get local TV, but everything else, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I find there's little use for it. And I always wondered if other people still have, people still have cable TV. I mean, it's kind of going out, just like the phones, just like the landlines.
Yeah.
Landlines rebel with them.
You're absolutely right with that. And I would say the one other thing you could try, and I can't say it's great, but over-the-air TV is still worth having if you are removing cable and want some kind of local feel. It would be a lot better. Local channels would be a lot more desirable and maybe a lot harder to cut ties with if there were less ads in it.
Yes.
The local information, local content, it's great. But it's been supplanted by, like, even the very channels you're describing or recommending we check out. But over-the-air is compelling, too. You can get public TV and get some good programming that's not, as I had said about local channels on cable subscriptions, chock full of ads.
Yeah, oftentimes,
still get it, but
oftentimes you can find a channel over the air that you can't find anywhere else. It's not on cable. It's not on satellite. That's why it's worth it for everybody to get an over-the-air antenna and just, you know, see what's available to you. It's nothing like, you know, it used to be with analog TV where you could get all kinds of distant channels and a lot of local ones. The signals are a lot weaker. They're a lot more restricted. But you can still find some interesting things sometimes, and, of course, it's free.
Yeah, we got an updated box and wired it up with a very, very old, like, flat square panel. And I can get pretty good, you know, pretty good stations from a distance. And, you know, it's all based on where you are and the reception and kind of orientation. You got to play around with it. I suspect, and I've looked at this as well, there are much better digital antennas. I know people that only use that, don't have streaming, don't have anything else, but they are fanatical about over-the-air digital and have really elaborate antenna setups and swear by it. Like, they love it, and ads and all. But if you've lost that with just streaming stuff, you could experiment with what is being broadcast digitally and fill in is all I'm suggesting, because it's fun to play around with. It's a good backup setup, too, if you want to get emergency information. Not that it, you know, won't be susceptible, but it's a step up or a sidestep from AM radio in an emergency if you need to get information, and streaming sites, of course, aren't going to be localized enough for that.
Yeah. And I have another question, an unrelated question. There's an old show that used to air on WBAI. It's called The Computer Show. Do you know if it still airs anywhere?
The Personal Computer Show. Yeah, that used to be on right before us and sometimes right after
right.
us. And they were canceled a number of years ago, but I know they were on a different network online. Gila, do you happen to know what network they were on?
They're now a good old-fashioned podcast. Found them on Podbean with today's episode.
They were on today. They were on today.
They were on, in fact, today.
Wow.
Yep, they've still been dropping Wednesday at 6 p.m., which is, you know, the time they historically had on
No,
on
that's,
BAI.
That's earlier than they were on BAI. I think they're getting a little earlier. They were, I think, 7 or 8 or 9.
They moved around a little bit.
They did.
They were before us for a while. They were after us for most of the time, I think.
Also, apparently, they were streaming
the podcast.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just wondering what the name of the podcast is.
What's the name of the podcast?
It's the Personal Computer Show.
Same name. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Same thing. Apparently, also, they can be found on PRN.
That was the original switch I thought they made from WBAI.
I didn't know they were still on there.
Apparently, they've got a lot of people who used to be on WBAI.
Uh-huh.
There was an exodus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, that is definitely. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah, and if you're interested in them, go to pcradioshow.org online and get in touch with them. They, you know, you've got all the info on there about who makes it, who's around.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
And that's going to be our last call for tonight. And are you okay over there? Yeah.
We're recovering.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. OTH@2600.com is our email address for anyone who wants to write to us. I guess we're done for the night, right?
Yeah, this has been a good night, a good evening, a good hour, a good 2 hours.
By the way, I got a text. Alex is not auditioning for Survivor. I'm sorry about the misunderstanding. And I'm sorry to the people of Survivor that are apparently very upset at that that inference.
He would have done well, I think.
I think so.
I mean, just there's so many pluses, you know, in his favor for that.
Doesn't have to do it Wednesday at 7 p.m., though.
No.
Would have been a stepping stone on his way to his dream of being on Road Rules.
Oh, boy, that is the dream.
Well, if you're on Road Rules, apparently you can become the Secretary of Transportation.
All right, enough. OTH@2600.com. We'll be back on BAI next Wednesday, 7 p.m., and here on YouTube at 8 p.m. And more info on hope.net for the Hope Conference. Please get involved and get your tickets while you can. Get your hotel room. Spread the word. It's going to be awesome. And we should have some news about speakers in the next week or two. And we look forward to seeing all of you.
Awesome.
All right. Good night.